3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Joined now by our man, Alan Bell from Sportsline, who checks in by phone, at least for this first segment. Alan, your Skype has social distanced itself from your computer, it seems, at this current time.
It really has. I take it that I've even let Skype down somehow, so it's just wild.
Hey, before we get into any football questions, all right, there's a guy who is on this Skype session right now, Jordan Tinkle, JT, who is a grill, like, big green egg master. What is this thing that you have ongoing with all these people on Twitter about frozen pizza and a smoker? Please get into detail on this, because we're all going to be eating at home alone. So give us something new to do here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's called Jack's Pizza. So what you want to do, go to your grocer of choice, frozen area, grab you a Jack's Pizza, take it home, and throw it on the grill. You only need about 12, 14 minutes or so, depending on how much, you know, you kind of want to grill it. And it's delicious. A grilled pizza is absolutely delicious.
So are you going charcoal? What are you working with the grill to grill this pizza? Like, what's the medium by which you are grilling?
Yeah, I've just got an old school grill. I've got charcoal on there, but, you know, it's going to work on anything. You've got a, big green egg. If you go Traeger, you know, with the wood chips, however you want to do it, it'll work. You just got to kind of monitor your heat and your time. Again, it doesn't take long, but it's absolutely delicious. I'm telling you, grilled pizza is the way to go.
What else have you learned while being quarantined, Alan Bell?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's been odd. Between grilling pizzas and reading about World War II and Joseph Stalin, it's been an odd time. But, you know, we're just trying to keep our heads up and try to learn what we can.
Let me know when you get to Rommel, and I'll get Derek Dooley on the phone for you.
That's a good call.
Alan Bell, our guest from Sportsline. Let's jump into this. Mike Vrabel, John Robinson both spoke at length yesterday to the Nashville media. We all gave our takeaways and wanted to ask you kind of what you took away from both of those guys.
Yeah, you know, I think that they're both dealing with a situation very similar to how all of us are. It's an unknown time, and I think Mike Vrabel said it best, that, you know, we're kind of just doing this. You know, you're planning in the short term. You're taking this day by day, because that's really all that you could do. So they know what's ahead of them in terms of the draft and schedule release. They don't know, you know, when OTAs are going to happen, if at all, training camp, if at all. But you can't focus on that. All you can do is just take care of what's, you know, kind of on your plate that day and prepare as best as possible. So I thought that was the biggest takeaway, is that no matter who you are, we're all kind of in this together, you know, in the same way.
Alan Bell, Sportsline.com with us. All right, let's get into Derrick Henry. So they talked about Derrick Henry, AB, and they said, John Robinson said, that it made it seem hopeful that they were working towards a new contract for him. And then Derrick Henry signs his franchise tag today. So what does all of that tell you?
So what that means is this, is everything that we thought, you know, that franchise tag is really a placeholder until they can get a deal done, I believe, by July 15th. Now, you know, there's really three scenarios that can happen. You know, Derrick Henry, you know, plays for the Titans. Derrick Henry gets offered to play for someone else and takes that contract, or Derrick Henry sits out. So you can knock out Derrick Henry playing for another team. Get rid of that, because it's not going to happen. The market already showed that teams are down on running backs. No one team is going to offer big money and give the Titans first-round picks. That's not going to happen. And I also don't think Derrick Henry is going to sit out. I really think that this has worked out in the Titans' favor, absolutely, with Devontae Freeman being released, Todd Gurley being released. It goes to show that the market for running backs is about as low as it can get. So to where Derrick Henry was thinking he wants $14.5 million. In the last couple of months, that number has dropped to $12.5-$13 million. So he's not going to have very much leverage, you know, in terms of other teams. And John Robinson and the Titans know that price just dropped. But long story short, Derrick Henry will be playing for the Titans this year. I have no doubt in my mind.
Will Derrick Henry be playing for the Titans for the next 3 years? Is there a doubt in your mind there?
Well, see, that's a great question. So, you know, Derrick Henry does have that option to say, you know what, we're not going to do a long-term deal because it's not what I want, and I'm going to play on the franchise tag, and we can go through and do this again next year. However, again, I don't think that this is going to change across the league about how teams feel about running back, you know, unless he just, you know, that for some reason that his overall price drops, which wouldn't be good for him anyway, because this is going to be the highest amount that he'll probably be able to make for an extended period of time. So as much as I hate it for running backs that their value just isn't as high as it could be, this is going to be the best deal that Derrick Henry gets, absolutely.
Alan Bell, our guest. Would you be surprised, AB, if we saw something maybe that he got the equivalent of two franchise tags worth of money on a two-year deal, or what was essentially what might be three franchise tags worth of money with the first two guaranteed or something like that before it was all said and done on July 15th?
You know, he could. I think that he would definitely push, you know, if it's going to be something like three of them. So if you're looking at $10.2 million per year. But again, remember, you know, that number could go down. It's gone down in the last month and a half, right? So if you pick that number up of the top five highest paid, you know, Derrick Henry actually went up in the list because of Todd Gurley being released, right? So, you know, I think that he's going to look at numbers and it might not be exactly what he wants. However, this is just going to be his best opportunity to maximize. Now, you bring up a good point, the amount of years. If you're thinking like a quarterback kind of does of, hey, I'll sign a 3 to 4 year deal and I could do this again, pretty similar to how kind of Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers has gone about this, he might try. But again, he has to maximize this one right here because as we've seen from guys like Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, other running backs, when this opportunity comes, you have to take advantage of it because it just doesn't, it hasn't proved to get better year after year.
It's funny, quarterbacks have proven to be holdout guy, right? Actually the opposite of that. Quarterbacks never hold out. Running backs tend to be the holdout guy, right? But being around Derrick Henry, and I certainly could have been wrong, but my take was he's just not that kind of guy. Like he's a work first, team first kind of guy. So I wasn't surprised that he signed the franchise tag today. But what does that tell you about the relationship there between Derrick Henry and the Titans? I mean, that's certainly a positive sign, and maybe that does allow them now to focus on the Clowney angle, which we'll get into after the break.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, it was something that was known, you know, once that, you know, kind of leading up to the CBA signing and the start of free agency, I'm pretty sure that Derrick Henry's representation as well as the Titans both had a clear understanding that the franchise tag was going to be the placeholder. It would be the floor, right, of what he could have, but he's going to get more and they're both going to work together. Derrick Henry loves it here. The Titans love having him here. And to be honest, you don't hear Mike Vrabel really give a lot of praise to a lot of guys. He didn't even really praise Ryan Tannehill last year, to be completely honest. Yeah. But they praise Derrick Henry, so it shows how important this guy is. And I think both sides know it. And it's just coming about of saying, you know what, give, take, let's work a deal because both sides want this to happen.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. A couple more segments coming up with Alan Bell from Sportsline as we continue to discuss all things NFL. Alan, we got a caller on the line, one of our favorites, Malika, who checks in from Nashville. Malika, say hey and roll with your question for Mr. Alan Bell.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Love the show.
Hey, appreciate you calling.
Yes, my question would be, being a sports reporter, what do you think of the draft? Now that it's hard to look at the players, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so much. Tighten up.
Definitely. That's a great question. So I think that what we're going to see is, you know, the teams that have good communication, teams that have been preparing, teams that have done, you know, deep dives with their scouts, you know, all last season long and even beyond that. Because, you know, you're not going to have those pro day times and coaches and GMs really be, you know, able to get their hands on players, so you're going to have to trust your scouting, you're going to have to trust your eyes, and you're going to kind of have to trust your gut, which sometimes can be good, sometimes cannot be good at all. So what we're going to see is, you know, really an approach from every, you know, all 32 teams. It's going to be different because teams are going to be operating differently, and they're going to be operating from different places than they're used to, right? So this draft is going to be something completely different than we've ever seen. But the teams that have the best communication skills and that are, you know, honestly closer as a team, as a unit, they'll fare better off than maybe teams that have a brand-new head coach or GM that haven't had those processes put in place just yet.
Alan, I had a realization the other day that the reason why they are pushing this draft through is because they don't know what's going to happen down the road, right? They want to get through free agency and get through this draft. That way that all teams at least have some sort of working knowledge of what their 90-man roster is. Then if things happen and things get extended in terms of the coronavirus and their season gets jumbled up, they'll at least be through that part of it, and it's a major part. So it makes a lot of sense to get through the draft however, whatever way they can, however that looks like.
Yep, you're exactly right, because imagine if they didn't have the draft and things, you know, unfortunately were to get worse. So then you have 300-something players out of 600 players that are just kind of sitting in purgatory limbo that don't have a team. Yep. So then what do? Do you have – you know, a draft next year that has double the amount of players, right? It would just be chaos. So I think you're exactly right that the NFL as a whole wants to get through every single thing that they can so that if things do get worse, they are at least through, you know, these, you know, kind of steps in the season. So I agree 1,000% with you. And I think just from a business standpoint, it's smart, it's good, because, you know, a lot of these things can be done, you know, virtually through, you know, telecommunications. As tough as it may be and will be, they can at least do that. So they're being business smart with it.
Right. So now if they have to sit and wait, they'd be able to sit and wait. So that would be a whole lot harder if they still had the draft to get done. Talking about Jadeveon Clowney, so the general manager and the head coach both talked about the guy, a guy that's not on their roster. Usually executives and coaches don't do that, but they did. And Diana Russini came on SportsCenter last night. She tweeted something about 17 to 18 million, that the number had come down, and that the Titans and the Seahawks were still interested. Then she went on SportsCenter and said this, Alan Bell. She said, she's hearing the price tag is around $17 million, which is exactly what SpotTrack told us he thought that Clowney would get eventually. And he told that to us 2-3 weeks ago. And then she said this, quote, "The two teams that are involved and interested are Seattle and Tennessee," end quote. Now, one of the things that John Robinson said, AB, was that, and I really didn't see this kid tweeted, but I heard it when we went back and listened to it, is that their doctors don't have the ability to check him out at this point. Could you go down the conspiracy theory line that I'm going down, thinking Seattle already knows what the physical is? I mean, he was their player. They know. Tennessee doesn't. Are we simply waiting for Tennessee's doctors to give him a physical and then Clowney's a Titan?
You know, I mean, that's the largest part of it, right, is going to be the price and the health of the player. And, you know, you're exactly right. They can't get their hands on him. They don't know. And especially for a guy like Clowney and that price tag, if you're talking $17 million, I mean, you have to know. Like, you cannot gamble on that whatsoever. So that leaves it in a really tough spot. Now, here's the question, you know, really two questions. One, what is the Titans line? Because they do have to have money in the reserves for their draft picks, for, you know, whatever happens during the season. Say, you know, by week 7, you know, you need a cornerback because you've had injuries, right? Like, you have to have some money in the tank. But also for Jadeveon Clowney, if that number continues to drop and he doesn't have much leverage because only one or two teams are interested, does he wait, you know, and kind of push this out until literally, you know, week 1, end of training camp, so that he can, you know, maximize his value, because potentially more teams might get interested later on? So it's an interesting song and dance here, because we're not used to it with the entire, you know, kind of coronavirus thing. But, you know, I have to think that, you know, based on how he was last year, that if they could get, you know, Clowney down to around $15.5 million and throw in some really good incentives for him, I think the Titans would take that chance. But 17, 18, it's just too much when you don't know exactly how healthy the guy is.
So as we sit here on April 2nd, do you think that Clowney will be a Titan or a Seahawk?
Ooh, well, here's the interesting
part.
Or
a Jet.
So yesterday, the Seahawks signed a defensive end for $3 to $4 million per year. So they don't have a ton of money to play around with either. So what does that tell you, right? So I think that, you know, it could ultimately come down, and I've seen the Jets' name in there as well because that's a team that, you know, historically has thrown money, you know, at free agents. But again, yeah, I mean, I really do think that if the Titans can convince him to get that guaranteed number down to in the 15s and then throw him some incentives, I think the Titans would jump all over that for sure.
Alan Bell, our guest, finish up this segment. We've got one more afterwards. Yeah, I had mentioned a similar scenario for Clowney. It's interesting, AB, the different things that were said about him yesterday, but Mike Vrabel talked about this is a versatile guy. He never questioned his effort. He never questioned how hard he played. You know, Mike Vrabel got the most out of him and really said a lot about him. And Mike Vrabel's not a guy, I think Britt said this earlier about another player. They were talking about Derrick Henry. They said a lot about Jadeveon Clowney. And as Brent said, that's not even their player, and that's out of character for Mike Vrabel.
Oh, it's extremely out of character, and it's that out of character for, you know, almost every team to comment on a free agent openly like that. And I think it goes to show it's kind of part of that leverage game where I think Vrabel and John Robinson probably really do want to sign it. But they're saying, look, hey, we want you here. We'd love to have you, but, you know, you're just going to have to drop that number down because we can't get our hands on you medically. Like, they're all playing this game in the public. You know, Jadeveon and his agent are reading and hearing all that. They know exactly what that means. So I think that's part of the sales pitch, is saying, look, these are different times. We can't get, you know, our doctors with you. But you know what? For 17, we need to do that. For 15, we don't have to. You know what I mean? So I think it's all part of that sales pitch right now.
It is pretty amazing. We're talking about doctors and trying to get, you know, Jadeveon Clowney looked at. Tua, the NFL, you know, different guys. I think Mike Garofalo was a guy maybe that I saw who had it. Tua got examined by doctors as a follow-up from the combine, and his reps gave a glowing report of how things went. But Tua got seen by a doctor today.
Exactly, right? So that goes to show, trust me, if an NFL team wants to get a medical, you know, report on you, they're going to get it. So that goes into this entire sales pitch on Jadeveon. So as for Tua, you know, good for him. Like, I mean, it came out glowingly that he is ahead of every expectation and, you know, kind of set level plan of where they've been. And this guy, you know, we've talked about it for a couple weeks now. You know, he's probably not going to last past the number three pick, whether that's a team trading up, you know, to get him or however that goes. So good for him. Glad for it, because that's a guy who, yeah, he was outstanding in college and he's got a heck of an NFL career. And I can't wait to see, you know, which team takes a pick on him, because he is the leader that you would want. And there's teams clamoring over him for sure.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. One more segment with our man Alan Bell from Sportsline as he joins us via the phone in this 4 o'clock hour. AB, one of the stories that I've seen, you talked about this earlier at length when Malika asked you about the draft. It's how will teams adapt and how will teams find a way? How about the Saints holding up in a brewery in a remote location owned by their owner and setting up, you know, their coach literally had this. He said nobody wants to get too close to him, but they got video monitors everywhere. They got a huge table in a huge room, and they're all 10 feet apart. It's a pretty cool thing and a really cool way to handle this business.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, it fits the city, right? Like, no other city but New Orleans would it make complete sense that, hey, you know what, we're just going to do this in a bar. You know what I mean? But, no, it's really cool. And you saw Roger Goodell. He sent out a memo today, and he really laid out that there are going to be two options that the NFL is going to decide on. The first option will be that they'll open up team facilities for, you know, specific personnel with safety guidelines and everything, you know, kind of set up. Or two, that they will rule that, you know, facilities are closed to all clubs and you'll have to kind of, you know, figure this out of where to do it on your own, and the NFL will help you, you know, with the telecommunications. So here's my thought on it. There's no way that the NFL is not going to open up team facilities. They're going to do it for specific personnel. It's going to be GMs, a head coach, maybe, you know, one other person. But it's going to be a small amount of people, and then you're going to have your scouts, you know, on calls, video calls, however they want to do it, unless something really big happens and they just have to close them down. But I can't imagine that they're going to have this where the Saints are in a brewery, you know, the Titans are at Mike Vrabel's house. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that they're going to do it. Like, they're going to open the facility up for sure.
Shay Vrabel. I love it.
I've got a question for you. Obviously, there's so much talk about how players are able to stay in shape outside of, you know, not allowed in the facilities. Most gyms are closed. Most players are staying at home. So what kind of workouts are going on? Well, apparently Lamar Jackson is throwing balls to Antonio Brown right now in Florida. And that's been a big headline and a big story in the last 24 hours. Does Antonio Brown make it back in this league?
Yeah, I think he will. And, you know, the reason being is that we saw, you know, Alvin Smith just made it back in the league. And let's be honest, the NFL is the NFL based on this. If you can play and a team, you know, sees that you can play, they'll sign you, you know. And you know, Antonio's been pretty quiet the last couple months. And I think, you know, this entire coronavirus situation has obviously taken the eyes off him and really everything else. So by the time that the season rolls back around, people really won't be talking about Antonio Brown the way that we were, you know, 3 months ago. So I think that if he can just stay low, continue to train and you know, put out videos, which is smart on his part to get them out there, a team is going to take a chance because Antonio Brown can put the ball in the end zone. And pretty much, if you could do that, you're going to get a job in the NFL.
Alan Bell with us on 3HL. AB, remember when the Lions drafted a wide receiver every year in the top 10?
Yeah.
That can be done because you can play multiple wide receivers, right? Yeah. Could Washington really go after Tua after drafting a quarterback in at 17? Now, I know Arizona did it the last 2 years, but do you think that that's a legit possibility?
Yeah, I do. And I think Arizona showed the blueprint on how to do it. And it worked. You know, you've got a new head coach and a new quarterback, and the quarterback just won Offensive Rookie of the Year. And we're talking about the Cardinals in a completely different manner than we did before that they had Kyler. So that blueprint is there. It's shown that it can work. You've got to obviously get the right player and have the right fit. But everyone believes that Tua could be that guy. And to be completely honest with you, you know, if you take, you know, the Redskins, you know, new head coach and their regime, you know, and the way that he operates, Tua Tagovailoa fits with him perfectly, right? So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely think it can happen. Now, does it? Good shot. I mean, you know, this could be, you know, just smoke and mirrors, you know, for them to get more leverage on that draft pick if they wanted to trade it. But it can absolutely work because it literally just did.
Alan Bell, our guest, you mentioned Alvin Smith in your point that you were making about Antonio Brown, but this guy hasn't played since 2015. He's got a long rap sheet, but if I'm not mistaken, he had the most sacks in his first 2 years of any player in history. This guy could flat out get after the quarterback, AB.
Yeah, he can. And you know, look at what the Cowboys have done in free agency, right? So you look at him. That's a low-risk, high-potential reward. They signed Gerald McCoy again for, what, $3 or $4 million. So a low risk, high potential reward. They signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix for the, you know, for the exact same. So the Cowboys have really played this, you know, intelligently, trying to go after guys who have made a name in this league, who have made plays, and who are, you know, on the other side of their large contract. And they're going with the, you know, the quantity per se over the quality, even though these guys, you know, have shown that they have, you know, played before. But you bring up a good point. Man, 2015, you know how long ago that was? Like, I mean, this was a while ago. But if you're asking a guy to just run, get after the quarterback, he might still be able to do it.
Well, it's amazing what a premium that remains for teams that literally you would go yeah. and find a guy who has not played since 2015 and go, yeah, here's a nice incentive-laden deal and a chance to get back at this thing again.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't hurt your cap at all, and you give the guy a shot, and if it doesn't work, you cut bait and move on. And you know what? The guy gets another chance, you know, and I'm all for it, even though, you know, he has had some serious transgressions. But again, you know, he gets another shot at it, and it can work out very, very well for both parties.
Looks like Tom Brady's going to live in Derek Jeter's old house. You think they'll? I think you tweeted this earlier. You know, just show him where the gift basket room is.
Yeah, Jeter's got his gift basket room. You know, the crazy thing about it is this: is that, you know, Derek Jeter got to get at Boston one more time, right? Like, he got to take that city down one more time and bring Tom Brady down there. It's just wild. But, you know, I took a look at that house, and I think somebody, and it might have been like Albert Breer, I think, you know, quote tweeted, said, oh, he's only got two boat docks on the ocean. You know, he really downgraded. It's just wild. Yeah, it's just wild that he's living in Derek Jeter's house. Like, this has been the craziest last 2 years, I think, of everyone's life. So, of course, he's living in Derek Jeter's house. Why wouldn't he?
Maybe Giselle had a gift bag from back in the day.
I guess so.
Oh, jeez. I don't think so.
Hey, honey, can you explain this autographed Derek Jeter baseball, please? Hmm.
That's what I felt so bad about, is so many people probably got those as gifts, and they're like, man, this is a great Christmas gift. And then you found out, you're like, oh, this ain't good.
then you look at eBay and you see several more. AB, thanks thanks for catching up with us, man. We're steaming towards the draft. We'll have plenty more to talk about next week, buddy.
Man, I can't wait. Thank you guys again for having me on. I appreciate it.
Alan Bell from Sportsline. All right, in the 5 o'clock hour, two segments with Inky Johnson coming up. Two segments. This guy is one of the most inspirational, if not the most inspirational people you'll ever hear from. He joins us at 5:15. And when we come back next, we'll play a little bit of sound from Governor Bill Lee as he has asked all of Tennessee to remain in place. He will explain. We'll get into that and more next as we start the 5 o'clock hour. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
The struggle is.